Go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke, chapter number 8. Luke, chapter number 8. We're going to look at a lady today and you talk about mercy. You see God's mercy on this life also. Luke, chapter number 8, the verses in this gospel and this three verses really just remind me of a very, very powerful thought about Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ and how the gospel can change lives. Luke, chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." So we see that the description here is referring to Jesus Christ, how he went through the different cities and different villages. Up to this point in time, Capernaum was mostly his home base, but now he's expanding out. Verse number 2, it says, "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance." You say, what's so special about those verses? Well, be honest with you, I was going to be preaching about the parable of the sower, which is found in the next 15 verses, but God kept on drawing me back to these three verses, reminded me of some really powerful thoughts. First of all, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful, and what Jesus Christ can do with a life is powerful. You see in the story here that Jesus is going and teaching, but not only does he have his 12 disciples with him, he also has these women that are following behind him, and it says that they took care of everybody out of their substance, which means that they were giving of their stuff and their possessions to help take care of Jesus and the disciples as they were ministering. But you see the lives that were changed. First of all, you think about Mary Magdalene. That's who most of her message is going to be about this morning. A woman that had seven demons in her, but Jesus Christ could help her. It does not matter what your past is like. The power of Jesus Christ, the grace of God that offers in our life is open to any and everyone. It doesn't matter what your past is. And we've seen that through characters in the Bible. We think about Mary Magdalene, the lady here who had seven demons, and the Lord cast those demons out and was able to, she put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You think about the Apostle Paul. If we would think about wicked people, Apostle Paul used to kill Christians. But when he met Jesus Christ, God changed his life. You think about the thief on the cross, and you think about that story about the thief on the cross. That man had lived such a wicked life that the Roman government was known for justice. The Roman government said that that man was worthy and deserved to die for his injustices and for his sins and for the things he had done wrong. But when he met Jesus Christ, it changed everything. The gospel message can change anyone despite your past. It doesn't matter if you grew up in a church Christian home, you still need the same gospel of Jesus Christ. You still need the grace of God, the mercy of God. It doesn't matter if you had lived wickedly and done many, many, many wicked things. As I said, the Apostle Paul talked about how he was a murderer and he then became a Christian. You know, some people said, well, murderers can't go to heaven. Well, I plan on seeing the Apostle Paul there. I don't know about you. But you think about this woman, Mary Magdalene, and last week we learned about chapter number 7. We learned about a woman who had sinned much. Remember what Simon said? Some scholars and some commentators think that Mary Magdalene was this woman. And it just is a continuation of the story because where the chapter breaks down, I don't really know that if that's a fact or not. But we know that having seven demons inside of you, she would have lived a very sinful life and they would have used and abused the woman and her body in many different ways. But you know what? God saved her. God changed her life. So as I was reading through this, I thought, man, look at the change and the difference that the gospel can make. Then I thought about verse number 3. You see this woman, Joanna, talks about being a husband of the Herod's steward. And this is a very influential place and a very, very prominent spot. Some scholars and commentators, once again, I think they're guessing, says that this could have been the nobleman's wife, the member nobleman's son from John chapter number 4. You know, you don't see that in the Bible anywhere, but that's what some of the history books say. But either way, it was a very person that was of well known and a person that would have been high up into society. Guess what? The gospel of Jesus Christ is intended for every person, no matter what your position in life is. No matter what your position, you think about it. You think about Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, the Pharisees, the high up of the society. You think about the centurion's faith that remember that Jesus marveled at a few weeks ago. You know, it doesn't matter what spot you're in society, the centurion, married to this nobleman, or even these Pharisees, or even kings throughout the history that had received Jesus Christ. So, well, that's all for the rich and the famous. No. Jesus loved blind Bartimaeus just as much as he loved them. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter where your position is. Jesus Christ loves you, and Jesus Christ can make a change and difference in your life with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't make up excuses saying, oh, I've done too much wrong. Look at Mary Magdalene here. Look at the story of the Apostle Paul. Look at the story about the thief on the cross. You can be saved and on your way to heaven. But today in the story, I'd like to introduce you is this woman, Mary Magdalene, and the change that God made in her life and the devotion that she had. You know, a lot of the followers of Jesus Christ, they were hit and miss. I think that's the case with a lot of people today that are Christians. You go to John chapter number 6, and it talks about how the multitudes, they followed him, and they followed him, and they wanted to be fed because he had fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fishes. But at the end of John chapter number 6, it talked about how Jesus said some really tough things in his message, and that how almost everybody went away. And he turned and looked at his disciples and asked them if they were going to leave also. And it's like the song we heard earlier, we sang first, you know, where are we going to go but to the Lord? They're like, where should we go? We can't go anywhere. You're the ones that have the words to eternal life. But see, followers of Jesus Christ have been hit and miss for years. Some follow him devoutly. Some follow him to the end. You even think about in the story about the disciples, how even in the garden when they were, when Jesus was being taken, you know what happened? The disciples fled. And then it says that two of them followed him afar off, John and Peter. And then Peter, that night he even denied Christ. And John, even though he was there at the crucifixion, he was dismissed away to take care of Mary. You see, there's a few people that's sitting at the feet of Jesus as he's dying, and Mary Magdalene is one of them. If you go and look in the stories, you understand the story of Mary Magdalene. She is a woman that was there at the cross. She was a woman that actually followed them as they put him in the tomb and they sealed the rock. And it says that she turned around and she sat down and she wept. And you know who was coming first that Easter Sunday morning? It was Mary Magdalene. She's leading a group of the ladies. You know who Jesus appeared to first? Was Mary Magdalene. I want you to understand something, and something I want us to hopefully get involved today. If you're a Christian, you should never get over what God has done for you. What happens with Mary Magdalene, I think that God changed her life so much and in such a great way, she never got over it. And what you see her, she spends the rest of her life, or at least the rest of Jesus's life, being a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not a hit or miss thing. He wasn't going to say something to her that was going to cause her to get discouraged and she was going to walk away. He wasn't going to say something to her. Something was not going to happen that was going to cause her not to follow Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you today, as we look at the story of Mary Magdalene, to be a follower, to be a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. We see Mary Magdalene there at Calvary. We see her there at the tomb. We see her there that Sunday, first Sunday morning. None of the men were there anymore at the tomb. None of the men were there at the cross, but Mary Magdalene was there. And I'm not saying that this woman is better than them. They were fearful of the Jews. Mary Magdalene didn't care. She knew the devotion that she had for God was because of what God did for her in her life. And this morning, if you're a Christian, if you're born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, believe me, you have so much to be thankful for. And we should never, ever get over what he's done for us. We should be this type of follower, this type of devotion. It shouldn't be, hey, I'm a fan. No, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. So let's look here at this story a little bit about Mary Magdalene. The first thing I want you to see about her was she was a desperate woman. She was a desperate woman. And I know we're only going to look at these three verses per se, but look what it says in verse number 2. It says, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. You think about this, you know, demon possession is real. And you think about the horror of her condition. This would be a horrible place to be in, to have seven different demons that care nothing about your body, that care nothing about you or your life, that would possess you. And we see the maniac of Gadara and how those multitudes or those legion of demons destroyed his body. She would have been drawn into vile sin. She would have been driven insane by these demons that controlled her. It would have been, many people suggest that Mary was probably some type of prostitute, even though there's no biblical evidence of this. But what a horrible life she had. She had a horrible life. You think about it, it was also the hopelessness of her condition. She couldn't do anything to change it. She was hopeless. It was a scary, horrible life, and she was hopeless. In this lost state, she was controlled by these demons. She had no hope of salvation. She would have been cut off from the temple. The Pharisees, as we learned last week, Simon looked at the woman and said, "I wouldn't let that woman touch me." She would have been nowhere near the Pharisees, nowhere near the religious leaders. She was hopeless, and she also was helpless. Since she was under control of this demonic spirit, she was powerless to change her own life. She was trapped and totally helpless and enslaved. And you say, "Pastor, what does this have to do with me?" And even though I know not every single person and not most are not controlled and possessed by demons, this is a picture of where a lost person, a person who is without Jesus Christ, is like. They have a horrible future that's planned for them. They are hopeless without Jesus Christ, and they cannot help themselves when it comes to going to heaven. See, the Bible says Jesus said himself, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man can come unto the Father but by me." That it has to come through Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning, even plead with you, that if you're here today and do not know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you are in a desperate situation. You have a horrible future, according to what the Word of God says, a horrible future planned for you. And you know what? You're hopeless and helpless to get out of it on your own. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You know, it's not of works, lest any man should boast." You say, what are you getting at? Consider your condition today. Mary Magdalene, we're going to talk about in just a few minutes about how she was delivered. And we're going to talk about how she was devoted. And we're going to talk to the believers in the room to be that type of devotion. And remember what God saved you from. And remember where you're headed to. And remember how life is short and you need to be devoted and want to serve God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength, and all whatever. But at the same time, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you're in this first condition. And the only hope that you can have is to realize that you're a sinner and that you need Jesus Christ and ask him to save you. The rest of the message is for those that have already done that. Don't lose sight of what's needed in your life. If you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart to save you, if you've never had that place and that moment in time when you realize that you were a sinner and that you put your faith and trust in him and what he did on the cross and how he died in the tomb and rose again for your salvation, get that settled today. Second thing I want you to see, not only was she a desperate woman, she was also a delivered woman. This is what the amazing thought of this story. We're not told about the circumstances surrounding Mary's conversion. We looked at the lady last week. We looked at the message last week from Matthew, where she came from, and how Jesus talked about all you that are heavy laden, you know, he'll give you rest, and how his burden was light, and how that woman, probably from responding to that message, got things right, and how she was there and she was weeping. It may be that that was the same woman, but regardless, there was no reason whatsoever for Jesus to reach out to this woman. On the list of people that we would expect to get saved or we think deserves the mercy and grace of God, she would have been nowhere on it. But see, the truth of the matter is that the Lord saw her in her darkness, and she reached out to her in her darkness and brought her into this marvelous light. And I want you to understand, this is amazing grace. It had not been for pure grace, she would have died and went to hell. Jesus, however, was not content to let this happen to this woman. He extended love, he showed mercy, he showed grace, and he helped save this woman's soul. That's exciting. She's delivered. She experiences God's power. When Jesus reached out to this woman and delivered her, she experienced the power of God. She instantly was delivered from her bondage and she was set free. That's what the power of God can do. That's what the power of Jesus Christ can do in a life. When he comes into a life, he makes an instant change. It's a profound change. The Bible says that we become a new creature. There is a result of things that we are set free from. No longer are we under the bondage of sin. Instead, we have been redeemed. We have been bought back. I want to encourage you today. She is delivered by the power of God. Now she experiences the peace of God. You know, the power of God is the only thing that can truly bring peace. Nothing that this woman had done or could have done would have given her peace in her heart and life. She had lived years without peace. Think of the confusion that must have filled her heart and her mind of this poor woman. At least 7 demons are talking to her, each trying to control her, each having their own way with her. Yet when Jesus impacts her life, the turmoil of her life was quieted forever. Because only one voice is speaking in her heart now. Jesus took the pain and turmoil that plagued her away forever and quieted the storm within her own heart. And he's still doing that for us today. I tell you, in your life, you can have the peace of God in your heart and the peace of God in your life if you know him as your personal Savior. Say, Pastor, I don't have a lot of peace. It's found in him. Philippians chapter number 4, we looked at in our Sunday school class this morning. If we cast our cares upon him, if we bring everything to the Lord, if we pray right and we think right and we live right, we can have the peace of God in our hearts and the peace of God in our lives and the peace of God in our minds. She was a desperate woman. She also was a delivered woman. Look really quickly with me in Ephesians chapter number 2, if you like to. If you just like to listen, that's fine too. But Ephesians chapter number 2 kind of gives a picture of this, the desperation of this woman and the deliverance of this woman. Ephesians chapter number 2, the Bible says in verses 1 through 3, it gives a picture of a person who's lost without Christ. It says, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Person without Christ is dead in trespasses and sin, dead spiritually. "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in you, the children of disobedience, among whom also we have our conversation in times past, and the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." It means that we are naturally lost following after the things of this world. But in verse number 4, it says one of my favorite phrases in all the Bible, "but God." You know, we were lost and without hope, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And then it goes down in verse number 8, the one I quoted earlier, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." What the Bible is saying here and showing here is that she is desperate in verses 1 through 3. But in verses 4 and 5, God gives a way of salvation. It is the deliverance that God and only God can offer. It's God's power and also God's peace that you can have in your life. And the third thing I want you to see is not only was she desperate and she was delivered, she was a devoted woman. She was devoted. I read the story, and I'm familiar with Mary Magdalene. I think a number of years ago, I preached a message on a Wednesday night about Mary Magdalene and showed the different stories and spots. How in John, she was at John 19:25, she was at Calvary. How in Matthew 27, verses 55 through 61, she remains at the tomb, and she's crying there with another Mary. And how later on, she is the first one going to the tomb. She is a devoted follower. The first thing I want you to see under the fact she's a devoted woman is her devotion is seen in her finances. Her devotion is seen in her finances. Look what it says at the end of verse number 3. "Minister unto him of their substance." Now, I don't want anybody to get confused. I don't want anybody to start saying, "Oh, look, the preacher's talking about money again." If you've been here and been here a lot for a long time, I don't talk a lot about money. I preach about giving our hearts to the Lord. As we give our hearts to the Lord will have all of us. Not just our time, not just our knowledge, he'll have our possessions. And the Bible speaks about what we should do when it comes to finances. But we'll just remember what the Bible says when Jesus, it says, remember the Lord Jesus, the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And I've learned that to be a principle and that to be true. It is more blessed to give than to receive. One preacher put it this way. He says, you know what? That's not in the terminology of most people today. In the world today, if you took 10 $5 bills and you stood outside of Walmart and said to them, "Hey, look, I got these $5 bills. I'm willing to give you one of them. Or if you wanted to, you could give me one." He says, "I can almost guarantee that all 10 of your $5 bills are going to be gone and no one's going to give you one." It's because they don't understand this principle. And it's a biblical principle. you know, it is more blessed to give than to receive. These women here, and you see Mary Magdalene, she was devoted to her finances. It would appear that that she was among the women who helped and supported Jesus financially. And you say, well, Jesus must have just been in it for the money. Then you don't know who Jesus is. You think about it, the Lord of glory, the creator and sustainer of the universe, one who had the ability to spread a banquet for 5,000 people with just a few loaves and a few fishes. You know what? He was able to take care of himself, but never would he use the miracle in his power for himself and to take care of himself. Instead, he depended upon and lived upon the free will offerings of his friend. Jesus was poor. For years, he was taken care of by others. And they saw his ministry. They saw the desire that he had. And it was a blessing and a help that these women, they're devoted. And not only they're devoted in following Jesus Christ, they are devoted in their finances also. They give of their substance. And the Bible speaks about it. And we're not going to get into a message about tithing. We're not going to get into a message about faith promise. We're not going to get into a message about offerings. But I want you to remember the biblical principle is more blessed to give than receive, and you cannot outgive God. And a person who accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you know what? It's not our money anyway. It's God's money to use as he has allowed us to. So I want to encourage you today. She was a devoted follower because she was devoted in her finances. Modern believers today do the same type of thing here at churches as they help take care of the church and they take care of the supporting the needs of the church. If it's a priority in our life, our finances will not be a problem. Second thing I want you to think about, she was devoted in her finances. She was devoted in her following. She was devoted in her following. As I mentioned earlier, everybody else was gone at the cross. And I know Jesus told John to go, but what about the other 11? They're all gone. Mary Magdalene is there with some of the other women. Nobody else is there where the tomb was at. No one else, only a few of them were there on the way to go to the cross, to go to the tomb to see what happened that first Sunday morning. She was single-minded. She was determined. She was a follower of Jesus Christ. It wasn't about convenience for her. It wasn't about a life of ease for her. It was about a love that she had. You say, how in the world could she love like that? How in the world could she give up herself and her possessions to follow around Jesus just to take care of him, just to minister to his needs and to the needs of the 12 disciples? How in the world could she do all those things and give of herself so much? It's because she never got over what God did for her. She never got over it. See, I think that we need this a little bit. We need to get the heartbeat of why Mary Magdalene would have spent her life or spent these 3 years following Jesus and these disciples and helping minister, giving of herself. It doesn't say she had the ability to teach or preach. We know that wouldn't have been true. It doesn't say that she ever healed somebody. No, she ministered and took care of them. And you know what? She did it gladly. She not only did it gladly, she gave of herself. Not only did she give of herself, she gave of her possessions. She was a true follower of Jesus Christ. Christ, this is the message this morning. Are we devoted to him? Are we truly a follower of his? Do the same desires reside in our heart? If it does, feed it. Let it grow. He's looking for people who will follow him. He says in his word over and over that if you pick up your cross and follow after me, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. We're supposed to follow him. Not only was she devoted in her finances and her following, she was devoted in her faithfulness. I began thinking about this a little bit, and there are a lot of people who say they follow Jesus Christ. Churches all across America today are filled with people. Say, hey, I'm a follower. Are we faithful? There are some who will follow, and after a while, they stop. We think about Demas found in the Bible. Paul talks about him, I think it's 3 different occasions. One of the times he calls him a fellow laborer. Another time he just mentions the name. Third time he says, he has forsaken me, loving the desires of this world. He was a follower, but you know what happened? He wasn't faithful. Christian, are we faithful? The Bible says it's required of a man, a steward, that he be found faithful. Are you faithful in your following? You know, yeah, I know sometimes it's easy on Sunday morning to come and, you know, maybe God's spoken to our heart through the singing and through the preaching and through the encouragement, the fellowship of the believers. You know what happens? We say, hey, look, I am a follower. I want to be a follower. I want to live for him. I want to give it. I want to give to him. I want to give myself to him. I want to be like a Mary Magdalene. I want to remember what God did for me. I want to remember the change he took me from. I want to remember where he is taking me to. I'm going to be a follower this week. But what about Monday? What about Tuesday? In this story, you see that Mary Magdalene was faithful when others left. Obviously, it was all that he had done for her when he saved her. She loved him so much for all that he had done that she simply had to be near him. Would to God that we would have the same type of heart beating within our hearts today. Would we be willing to take the time and allow God to work in our hearts this way and see the love that this woman had throughout the gospel? See the love that the woman had last week in chapter number 7, how she was willing to give of herself and she was willing to sacrifice and how she was willing, didn't care that she was in Simon's house and didn't care who saw. She just wanted to be near Jesus. She wanted to thank him. She just wanted to love him. She just wanted to serve him. Do we see that a lot in our churches today? Unfortunately, we don't. That's what the message is today. Are we a devoted follower? There are a lot of people who are fans. So they'll get up and they'll cheer and they'll be excited. They'll come in songs and they'll do a lot of fleshly things. You see churches all across America that has flesh in their services and they have music that's just going to get people riled up and say, yeah, I want to live for God. And then they leave not changed. What our goal here today is that we fall in love with God a little bit more and we want to serve him some more. And if he has saved you, we have a reason to love him. Mary Magdalene never got over the day she met Jesus. She never got over the love that she had. She saw what he did for him. He said, hey, pastor, I never had 7 demons. You were just as lost as Mary Magdalene was. You are just as desperate as she was. Without Christ, we are all lost and without hope. We're enemies of God, the Bible says. This morning, do you love him like that? I know I want to. I want to encourage you today to think about this woman. She was one of the faithful followers. And it reminds us of the gospel. You say, well, pastor, I've done too much wrong. You can't use that excuse when you're talking to Mary Magdalene. I bet you she could have told you stories about things she had done that would have tried to probably made your stomach turn. She says, no. He loves me despite that. He cared for me. As Miss Maxie gets saying, mercy saw me as beautiful. Mercy didn't see that. God, when we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees his righteousness, Jesus Christ's righteousness. He doesn't see ours. He doesn't see her. He sees us through his son. Praise the Lord for that. Doesn't matter. He says, well, I'm not worthy of it. None of us are worthy. It doesn't matter if you're a nobleman's wife or if you're blind Bartimaeus. None of us had the position, but the gospel can change your life. And then you see this woman, Mary Magdalene, how she let it affect her. She was desperate. She was delivered, and she became devoted. I wonder how many of us today are really, truly followers. A lot of us are fans. We'll get dressed up just like they will for the football guys. You ever seen football players, right? You know, this football stand, they got guys painted certain colors. They'll go out and they'll act crazy because they're excited about that football team. And sometimes we'll get dressed up. Thankfully, we don't wear body paint. Thankfully, you all look very nice today. We'll get dressed up and we'll come to church. And we'll be a fan for an hour or two on Sunday morning. That's not what God wants. He wants a follower. He wants someone who's going to be there with him at the cross because, hey, I got to be there. Even at the Pharisee's house, someone who's not going to deny him at the tomb, someone who's going to be there in the garden with him. He wants someone who's going to be there with him because of the difference he made in our lives. So he hasn't made much difference in our life, my life. That's not his fault. That's your fault. Because, boy, he can make a change in your life that you will never, ever forget. He can give you peace that can't come from anywhere else. He can give you power that does not come from anywhere else. He is God, and he loves you. Look at the difference he made in this woman's life, and look how this woman responded. Remember the difference he made in your life, and then consider how you're responding. Is it so much to come to church more than once a week? I think Mary Magdalene would have been here every single service if it was this day and time. Let me encourage you today. The devotion that this woman had, something I think we can learn from. Jesus Christ is worthy of all praise, worthy of all honor, and worthy of all devotion. He has changed our lives. Let us now worship him as God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.